Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
For the media who are listening, we are placing 97,000 outbound calls to area ratepayers, customers of Erie County Water Authority. They are being asked to hold on to join the conference call. And when we cycle through most of those 96,000 outbound calls, we'll begin the call. That's for anybody on the line right now. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for holding on for the Erie County Water Authority conference call. Earl Jan, chairman of the Water Authority, is here for a customer conference call. We want you to be fully informed of the status of the recent break in our water line, specifically the Wednesday Amherst break, which resulted in a 48-hour boil water notice. You'll have a chance to ask a question after his brief presentation. All you'll have to do is press zero. So if you have a question, you can press zero now, and you'll be placed directly into the question queue. Please hold on, and the conference call will begin in a few moments. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Caputo for the Erie County Water Authority. Thank you for joining our telephone town hall. You'll shortly be joined by Earl Jan, chairman of the Water Authority, for a customer conference call. We want you to be fully informed of the status of the recent break in our water line, specifically the Wednesday Amherst break, which resulted in a 48-hour boil water notice. You're going to have a chance to ask a question. We urge you to press zero now if you're going to, if you know you've got a question. We'll get you right into the queue. Press zero if you have a question, and we'll try to get to you. We're going to have thousands of people on this call. We're hoping to get to as many questions as we can before our time in the Teletown Hall expires. One last time, welcome to the Erie County Water Authority Teletown Hall with Earl Jan, chairman of the Water Authority. We want you to be fully informed of the status of the recent break in our water line, specifically the Wednesday evening Amherst break, which resulted in a 48-hour boil water notice. You'll have a chance to ask a question after Earl's presentation and Paul Whittem's presentation. Paul is the director of water quality at the Erie County Water Authority. But if you know you got a question, press zero now. It'll put you in the queue, and we'll be able to get to you very quickly. Now, Earl's going to speak for just a few minutes, followed up by Paul Whittem, the director of water quality here at the Erie County Water Authority. And after their brief presentations, we're going to want to get to your calls. So again, press zero if you're going to have a question for Earl Jan or his director of water quality, Paul Whittem. Earl, if you want to go ahead and speak, we now have attendees on the line. And ladies and gentlemen, this is Earl Jan, who is the chairman of the Erie County Water Authority.
Hello, I'm Earl Jan, chairman of the Erie County Water Authority. On Wednesday night, July 20th, our water distribution system experienced a water leak affecting the northern parts of our distribution system. Our monitoring system first noticed the break at 8:31 p.m. after water pressure dropped from 101 to 58.5 pressure per square inch. Shortly following this drop in pressure, the authority's director of operations was notified, and we began to receive the first reports of widespread outages across our system. When water pressure drops to below 20 PSI across our system for 4 hours, the Water Authority would issue a boil water order. The pressure never dropped to that level, and certainly never for that long. By 10:06 p.m., our crews had arrived on scene and identified the leak site. Within 30 minutes, the first of two valves were identified, and we began a shutdown. Following this, our water pressure immediately began to rebound to normal. At 11.05 p.m., long after our pressures were recovering, Erie County Executive Mark Polenkars informed WIVB Channel 4 via Twitter that a boil water alert was being discussed by his team. In fact, the Erie County Water Authority was not included in that discussion. If we had been included, we would have informed them of the rapid pressure recovery we were experiencing. By 11:15 p.m., while the County Emergency Services Unit was having their discussion without the authority, our water pressure had returned to over 100 psi. Due to this rapid pressure recovery, our experts, engineers, and water quality experts did not recommend a boil water notice. At 3:30 a.m., 4.5 hours after our system had recovered, Erie County Health Department issued a boil water order. We were informed the order came from the top. It is important to note that to date, the Water Authority has not received the required written notice from the county to issue a boil water order. Finally, in researching possible causes of the Wednesday line break, we discovered that National Grid had been digging on that specific site and uncovered part of our pipe. We suspect that their work may have contributed to the break. We are continuing to investigate the causes. Boil water notices are extremely rare. The last one issued by Erie County Water Authority was 10 years ago. On average, our distribution system experiences 1,100 line breaks per year. Water distribution systems experience increased line breaks in very cold, very hot, or very busy periods. Today, in addition to high temperatures, there is a high demand for water due to the ongoing drought conditions. We normally pump 68 million gallons per day to our customers. Today, we are averaging 121 million gallons. For example, yesterday, our line maintenance crews addressed 12 leaks. This is not an unusually high number for a peak period. Our system's high rate of repair is due to the area's declining infrastructure. In many sections, our pipes are 100 years old. ECWA's infrastructure charge to customers funds ongoing efforts to update these aging water lines in our system. Now, I'd like to introduce Paul Whittem, our Director of Water Quality, to help answer your questions. But keep in mind that by dialing zero, you can also ask a question. Paul?
Hi, I'm Paul Whittem, Director of Water Quality for the Erie County Water Authority. In my position, I was on site in our service center for the incident. Our testing of the affected areas revealed that the quality of the water in ECWA distribution system did not degrade to the point where it presented a health issue during this incident. The water we deliver to our ratepayers is often more pure than many of the bottled water sources. Our system is of the highest quality and our staff is highly trained. Suffice it to say that if you receive water from the Erie County Water Authority, you're getting some of the highest quality tap water available today. Now I'm happy to take any of your questions.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this again is Michael Caputo for the Erie County Water Authority. I want to encourage you to press zero in case you have a question. Just press zero. You won't be removed from the call. You'll simply be put in queue to ask a question. Now, Michael from Erie County, we've joined you to this call. Are you there?
Yep.
Michael, if you have a question for Earl or Paul, please go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering, what about that other water break over on Sheridan Drive? Do we have to boil water again?
No, you definitely do not have to boil water. Keep in mind that, as I stated, we experience over 1,100 breaks per year, and we don't require boil water notices to people because even though you may experience low water pressure or even an outage, There is enough residual chlorine in the lines that it would prevent the growth of bacterial which would cause infection.
Paul, do you have something to add for Michael?
What they typically do is once the lines are repaired, that section of the line is disinfected with a high level of chlorine on that particular piece of pipe, and then placed back in service. But we would, also tell the customer, if you're seeing brownish water, run your water until it clears up. And if there are any issues, contact our customer service line, and we can have it addressed.
Thank you, Paul. We have Donna Levy on the line. Donna, you're on with Earl Jan and Paul Whittem from the Erie County Water Authority. What's your question? Hello, Donna.
Oh, hello, I'm sorry. After hearing what you had said, I'm understanding that, yes, the water is safe to drink at this point without boiling it, and I just wanted to verify that.
That's absolutely
correct. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All right, I'm going to go ahead and join another question here on second. All right, Mrs. Piet, thank you for joining Earl Jan and Mr. Paul Whittem from the Erie County Water Authority. You have a question, Mrs. Piet.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am, you're on the line.
What is your question?
I heard there was another water main break just recently at the 290 in Sheridan. Wondering if that's going to affect our water supply in our area, and now from what I'm hearing, we won't need to boil our water because of that break.
That is correct. You will not have to boil, and it will not affect your water. We've already addressed that or are working on that particular water break, and we are fully aware of it, and it's. I'm not sure if it's been has been completed or not, but I haven't talked to our line crews in a little while, so. But you don't have to worry about it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Paul, perhaps you could tell Mrs. Piet how often these boil water notices go out.
Well, the last time we had a boil water notice was about 10 years or so ago, during the October storm.
Well, we've got another caller here, Mary Schultz, who has joined the call. Mary, if you're there, you're on with Earl Jan and Paul Whittem from the Erie County Water Authority. Mary?
Hello?
Try that again. One second. I think Mary dropped off. One second. Okay, I have a Rob Anderson. Rob Anderson, you're on the call. Can you? You're on with Earl Jan and Paul Whittem. You have a question?
Yes. Hi. I was wondering if you could just. I think you might have covered it slightly earlier on. Could you reiterate as to why a boiling requirement was issued, but you're also saying that it did not get below a certain level. You didn't really need to issue that?
Well, we didn't actually. The boil water alert was issued, but it was because there are two ways that boil water alerts can be put on. The first would be if we decide that there is a danger to our customers because the pressure had dropped so low that it's potentially possible for bacteria to get into the system. The second way that a boil water alert can be put on is if the county health department dictates that we must do that, and they issue what's called a boil water order. That's what happened at 3:30 in the morning, called Thursday morning, and the county health department told us that we had to put on a boil water order. And so at that point, that's when... Now, it's quite an involved process when you do that. There is a whole thing that's laid out by the EPA as to various forms and all the rest of it that you have to follow. We followed that to the letter of the law, and it takes quite a bit of time to do everything that you want. Once it was completed, we notified our people to put it out there that the boil water alert was put on. But to answer your question, we experience, as I mentioned, an awful lot of leaks every year, and this one was no different than any of the other leaks, except that it was larger and it affected a greater number of people. But we have leaks that affect 100, 200, 300 people, and we do not put on boil water alerts unless there is a sound reason for doing it. We didn't feel that that was necessary this time, but we comply with the health department.
Okay, we've got another call here. One second. Kim Bialy. Kim Bialy, you're on the line. If you can hear us here, Kim. You've got Earl Jan and Paul Whittem from the Erie County Water Authority. What's your question, Kim?
Yeah, it's Kathy. And
I'm sorry, Kathy.
That's okay. My main question is that this alert went out, and I understand everything that happened, listening to your talk and everything like that. But in the future, if we don't turn on a TV or we don't have a cell phone, will there be a system in place to give a robocall right when this decision is made so that the public will know that this is in place?
In fact, we are and have been working on an emergency notification system. Now, first of all, it's our understanding that we can't use robocalls for cell phones. We believe that's not legal. We've looked into that already. But we are looking into a system of sending out an alert. And what I would encourage all those that are listening is if they would please supply the Water Authority with email addresses and landline phone numbers. Currently, in both cases, we checked, and we've only got 36% of our customers in our system for their landlines and or email addresses. And it would help us greatly to notify the public if we had a greater number of ways to contact them. But yes, we are looking into other methods other than the media.
This is Michael Caputo again for the Erie County Water Authority. You've joined the Erie County Water Authority Teletown Hall, where we're discussing the water main break, specifically the Wednesday night water main break last week, which resulted in a 48-hour boil water notice. And Richard, you're on the line. Thank you for asking a question. If you have a question like Richard does, please press zero, and you'll be put into the queue to ask questions live here on the call. Richard, you're on with Earl Jan and Paul Whittem from the Erie County Water Authority. What's your question?
Well, I'm sorry I came into the discussion late, but I was concerned about the Water Authority versus the Health Department, and when does the Health Department supersede the Water Authority in issuing that boil water alert?
You want to take it, Paul, or should I?
They always supersede it. I mean, we can advise, we can issue a notice or an advisory, okay?
I guess to answer your question very, as I mentioned, there's two methods in issuing boil water alerts. In the one case, the authority would do that in the event that we felt an area or part of the system was compromised for too long a period of time and that the pressure was too low. The second way in which it's done is if the health department issues an order telling us they have to do that. Now, keep in mind, that we are regulated by many different agencies. When it comes to the Department of Health, we're regulated actually by the state health department, but they have designated the Erie County Health Department as the local agency that we must be accountable to. So when the health department says you will issue a boil water order, we are obligated to do that. And that's exactly what happened with that large break. Other than that, as was mentioned before, we have not had to issue a boil order, boil water alert for 10 years after the big ice storm in Amherst.
Hi, Connie, you're on the line with Earl Jan from the Erie County Water Authority and Paul Whittem, who is Director of Water Quality. Again, if anybody's listening, you want to get a call, you want a question, you have a question for Earl and Paul, please press zero and you'll be put into the queue. Connie, what's your question for Earl and Paul?
Hi, I have a purified water system in my whole house. How does that affect me?
Well, you know, I mean, you're that's fine if you have a purified water system. Frankly, it depends on what you want to do with it. For example, if it's one that you want to reduce the hardness in the water, then that certainly can do that. If you're looking at, you know, you don't need it for bacteria or anything like that. Our water is treated well enough that you should not have any kind of problem with that. You know, I mean, quite frankly, I don't have a purified water system in my own home, and I do drink our water all the time. In fact, my wife gets disturbed because I holler at her when she occasionally buys bottled water.
Earl, I think Connie was asking if she has to do anything like flush out her system or anything like that after this water break.
Right, or boil water if it's necessary.
What type of system is it? No?
Yes, I'm here.
Do you know what
what type of system is it?
It's an Anderson water system that has potassium.
Right.
And it's supposed to be purifying the water as well as the softening. I've had it for over 20 years.
Right, right. You don't have to do anything, you know, with your system. You're fine, just the way you are.
Okay. That's all I needed to know. Thank you.
Thank you, Connie. We have Joni on the line. Joni, you're on the call with Earl Jan, the chairman of the Erie County Water Authority, and Paul Whittem, who is in charge of water quality here at the Erie County Water Authority. What's your question for Earl and Jeff? And by the way, if somebody's got a question, please press zero, and you'll be put into the queue. Joni, you're on the line.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Joni.
Actually, it was Tony, so I'm not sure if there's a Joni also. But I was just wondering how much bacteria resulted in the water main break and if there's any left. And the second part is that I noticed that there's an unusual taste in the water right now, unless you recently added the anti-algae additive because of the recent humidity.
Oh, in answer to the first question, there were no total coliform bacteria. Those are the types of bacteria that we test for in a water main break and our natural or our normal distribution system sampling that's required by the state and by EPA on a daily basis. So our results came back negative. In the affected areas, we tested 21 sites. I believe the health department may have tested 11 or something like that. But that, in answer to your question, you know, everything came back normal. As far as the taste, it may be the chlorine that you're tasting. That I don't know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right, we have more questions, but if you have a question for Earl Jan and Paul Whittem from the Erie County Water Authority, please press 0, and you'll be connected live on this call. Let me see one second. I'm going to put another caller in here. We have Cindy. Cindy, you're live on the call with Earl Jan and Paul Whittem. Cindy, what's your question for Earl and Paul?
Good evening. With our infrastructure on the pipes being as old as they are and the extra strain being put on by the drought and the almost double water usage, did they at any time discuss about limiting our water usage so as to reduce some of the strain?
Not really, because at this point, by reducing, it wouldn't do all that much. Our basic problem, because, I mean, when you look at it, in the wintertime, when we're pumping 68 million gallons per day on average, we still have some of the largest number of leaks. So the problem is the aging infrastructure, and it's going to take a lot of money to replace that. And that's what we're working on right now. So just as just to give you an update, last year in 2015, we allocated $17 million in our capital budget. For this year in 2016, we increased that to $28 million, and that is because of the recognition that the pipes absolutely need to be upgraded and replaced. And that's exactly why we've had to increase the infrastructure charge. All of that money, I can assure you, goes directly to capital improvements within the authority. It has nothing to do with operations or maintenance or salaries or any of that.
Carol, thank you for your call. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're 30 minutes into this call, and if you have to leave because you've got other things you must do, please just simply press 1 and leave a comment, and you'll hear back from the Erie County Water Authority to answer your question that you leave if you press 1. Now, if you have a question and you want to get into the queue, please press 0, and we'll hook you into this call as long as we're able to get through this list. We've got a growing list of people. If you want to ask a question, please press 0. Now, Patricia Herweg, you're the next one on this call. Patricia, you have a question for Earl Jan and Paul Whittem from the Water Authority?
Yes, thank you. The question I have is when we did have the, when I went to the faucet and there wasn't anything coming out, I went to the website and the website was down. And I went and there was a phone number on the regular Bing. So I went there and that phone number wasn't working. And all the other phone numbers were not working that were listed. And the website, like I said, was down. The emergency phone number that I had to go dig out my bill, and the emergency phone number was working, but of course it was busy. So I was just wondering what happened. Everything happened all at one time, and it was very hard to get some information from that. And also, we didn't get the boil water notice until 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon when the break happened, you know, on Wednesday. So that also was very disconcerting.
Okay, first of all, with regard to the website, the problem was that the affected area included about 209,000 people and about 75,000 customers. So what happened was, any website when it's inundated like that is going to go down, and that's exactly what happened. Now, regarding the phone system, the system didn't go down, but in the middle of the night, and that when people are calling in, we can accept 24 calls at a time, but frankly, at that point, because you were in the evening, we had about 4 people that were accepting calls, and they were trying to accept them as fast as they could. But so that was the system there. Now, as far as the boil water part goes, that actual notice to our customers went out at about 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. I don't have in front of me the exact time, but it was something a.m.
Thursday, right?
On Thursday morning. That's when it went out. So why? I don't know why you were not made aware of that. We used the media. We did. By that time, I believe our website had recovered, and we did put it on the website. And we are working on other methods of notifying our customers because we're not happy by the fact that we were unable to notify as many people as we would have liked.
Okay, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Patricia. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Caputo for the Erie County Water Authority. You're on the Erie County Water Authority Town Hall, where we're discussing the Wednesday Amherst line break, which resulted in a 48-hour boil water notice. If you've got a question and you want to be put into the queue to ask your question, please just press 0 and you'll be put in. If you have to leave and you still want to leave a comment that you need an answer to, press 1, we'll take that comment and call you back with an answer. Again, we're going to take questions, so just press 0. And right now we're going to go to Clarence Zavitz. Clarence Zavitz, you're on the line. Do you have a question for Earl and Paul?
Yes, good afternoon. Actually, I've got a two-part question. The second part just came to mind, but I'll go with the second question first. You know, when it happened and the water pressure was very low, of course, we couldn't get through on the line to the water department, as you just explained. I did call the Amherst police, and they were very clueless as to what was going on. They knew there was no water pressure, but following that call, I called Channel 2, and they were right up to speed. They knew exactly what was going on, how long it was going on, et cetera, et cetera. So I guess my question is, do you folks contact the authorities like that just in case people call in? And my second question is, and you answered some of it previously, but how much is in the kitty for the surcharge, and how much of that is being spent, you know, on replacement piping? I'm sure, you know, your normal capital budget and everything has replacement costs in it, but this surcharge is over and above that. So those are my two questions.
Okay, first of all, well, I'll get your second one first. Channel 2 knew because we, at around 9-something the night of the break, we did put out a media notice about that there was a major water break in the town of Amherst. So that's how the station knew about it. Now, to the capital budget, I would have to look at the exact figures for pipe replacement, but I can tell you that currently, for example, we have one ongoing on Niagara Falls Boulevard, which is a little over $3 million. We have another one that's going on Walden Avenue in Cheektowaga, and that's also a little over $3 million. These are major replacements. Now, to give you an idea of the extent of the cost of this, when you're dealing in an urban area, and a major road, say for example a Union Road or a Harlem Road or another major high main street, major highway, the cost of pipe replacement is about $2 million per mile. That's a minimum, $2 million per mile. When you're in a more rural area, that price is still probably about $1.5 million per mile. So a lot of it, about 25% of our cost, is due to restoration of the sidewalks, curbs, and street and all of that. This is one of the reasons that we try to coordinate with the various municipalities. When they're going to be doing road work, we ask them, notify us. If you're going to rebuild a road and it happens to be an area where there's bad pipe, that's when we want to go in so that, I mean, the last thing we want to do is have a town put in a new road and then, 6 months later we go and dig it up to put in a new water line. So we try to coordinate that with the municipalities. Now, to give you an idea of the extent of the problem, we've identified that 80% of our leaks occur in a specific type of pipe. It's a cast iron pipe. And the reason why that's occurring is because many of the soils in western New York are very acidic, and the acid eventually eats through the pipe, and it causes the pipe to become lose its integrity, and we get breaks. The other part, like this major break that took place, last week, that is a different type of pipe. That's a concrete pipe, very large stuff that was used in the 70s, and there are some reasons why it eventually loses its integrity. Unfortunately, we have 22 miles of that concrete pipe, and of the cast iron pipe, we have 729 miles. So we are looking at an extremely expensive proposition in replacing all this pipe. And that's why we have developed a plan whereby we go after the pipes that have caused the greatest amount of leaks, but we are trying to expand that. We are also looking into new technologies that may bring down the price of pipe, and that's another whole story. So I don't want to bore you with all those details, but I hope that's informational for you.
Steve, you're on the line with Earl. Yes.
Hi, Earl.
On the line with Earl Jan and Paul Whittem.
Yes, Earl. My question is, how does the increase of the amount of water create the leaks in the water mains? Just thinking through it logically, if a pipe is compromised, it would be compromised with any amount of water in it. With the increased amount of water, is there a higher pressure for increased water volume over a day period? Is that what's actually causing the leaks?
Yes, that's exactly what happens. When you get a much higher usage on the water, you're increasing the pressure dramatically, because keep in mind that the system is very large. We're pumping all the way. Keep in mind, and this is, we have two plants. One plant is located on the Niagara River in the town of Tonawanda. The second plant is located at Sturgeon Point in the town of Evans. So from those two plants, we are pumping that water all over our system. And the result of that is that in many of the towns, you have to increase the pressure dramatically at certain times. You also have to increase the pressure to fill the tanks. And we have 37 tanks that we own and are responsible for. So the pressure has to be increased to fill the tanks. The pressure is increased. For example, when fire companies go and use a hydrant to practice, or in the case of a real fire, you're drastically increasing the pressure on those lines around that fire hydrant. And those are the things that eventually, in a pipe that is somewhat compromised, you're going to cause it to leak under higher pressure. That is one cause. In the winter, the difference in the temperature between the water and the ground is also a problem because of expansion and contraction, depending on the type of pipe. I hope that answers your question.
Earl, we have Sam Baker on the line here. Sam, what's your question for Paul and Earl from the Erie County Water Authority?
Hi, gentlemen. You're talking about the affected area. Today was the first day I got a call about this meeting, and hadn't heard anything about it before. But what is the actually affected area that you're talking about?
Well, the areas that were affected by this were the towns of, we got them all. We've got Amherst, Clarence, Depew, Lancaster, Newstead, Cheektowaga, the villages of Williamsville, Lancaster, and I'm missing one.
Depew.
We said Depew.
Yeah.
Okay. So those were the areas that were affected by this leak.
Okay. So I live in Hamburg, and this is the first time
I have no impact on you at all.
That's good to hear. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sam. We're going to bring another caller in here. Again, if you have a question, please press 0. You'll be put into the queue. And if you got to leave and you still want to ask your question, press 1. Leave your comment, and someone from the Water Authority will get back to you as soon as we can. Now, Earl, I want to ask you a quick question, because we have several different calls here about Tonawanda. Was Tonawanda affected by this? And there are some people here on our grid reporting that Tonawanda still has some low water pressure. Can you give us any highlight this in any way?
We don't take care of the town of Tonawanda. Tonawanda has their own water department, and likewise, we don't service Kenmore, the village of Kenmore, located in the town. We do, however, take care of the city of Tonawanda, and if someone is experiencing problems in the city, then yes, by all means, notify us. But if it's in the town, they would have to call the town of Tonawanda Water Department.
Again, another question about Tonawanda, Earl, comes from Don, who I've joined to the call. Don, thank you. What's your question for Earl, Earl Jan from the Erie County Water Authority, and Paul Whittem?
Hi. I live in the city of Tonawanda, and my question, of course, involves replacing these aging pipes. Here in the city of Tonawanda, when we were switching over from the city of Tonawanda Water Authority to the county, we were being told, to make the residents feel more comfortable about the switch, that there would be some new water mains installed here, particularly in my neighborhood in the Riverview area. And it's been many years since we switched, and we had no upgrade of our water mains here. And yes, the city of Tonawanda has for many years had low water pressure, but it did get better once the county took over. So, yes, I'm wondering, are there still plans to put new water mains in the city of Tonawanda?
Well, the only place that we would be putting in new mains would be if there is a bad leak history on particular streets. In that case, we certainly would replace those lines. But as far as just routinely replacing them, I don't know what they told the residents back when. I'm afraid I wasn't around then, at least with the Water Authority. So I honestly have no idea. That was taken over many years ago. So I really can't answer that part of it. But I mean, if we have experienced a lot of leaks and everything, then streets are put on our list to replace those lines.
Earl Jan from the Erie County Water Authority is joined by Paul Whittem, the Director of Water Quality for the Erie County Water Authority. If you have a question for Earl and Paul, please press 0. If you got to leave the call, press 1. Leave a message with your question, and we'll get back to you. Now we got a call from Michelle. Michelle had some personal experience with this break. Earl, Paul, Michelle's got a question for you.
Hello, Earl.
Hello.
During the break, I noticed it about 9 o'clock that the water pressure went down. However, I have a runoff creek in my backyard, which has been about 4 inches deep since the drought. I looked back there, and the water had come up tremendously, and it was very tumultuous going down the creek, and it was getting higher and higher. I, of course, tried calling the emergency number, and I couldn't get through. I did call the Amherst police and reported it, and they said that they knew there was a water problem, but I said that wasn't my concern. My concern was the rising creek. And I'm just wondering, is there a reporting number that government facilities can call that, you know, regular citizens can't get through? Because when I finally did get a number to call, and I did call, and I heard the recording, and then I stayed on the line because they said if you see anything bubbling, to stay on the line. I stayed on the line, and I finally did get to talk to somebody around 10 o'clock and reported that this water was coming down so rapidly. So I guess my question is, how do I report something like this if it happens again?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, that's probably the best way that you can, other than going to our website and, you know, leaving us a message on the website. Now, you did the right thing by, you know, calling the Water Authority to tell. I gather that you live fairly close to the break or downstream from the break. Is that correct?
Earl, she's unfortunately not on the call, but she's listening.
All right. She's listening. I would imagine she would, but just to give you an idea of the volume of water that was we were losing, the Big Blue Water Tower holds 1.5 million gallons. The Newstead tank holds just under that, and then you've also got the Pleasant View tank. So those tanks drain primarily by usage of individuals, but you've got a tremendous amount of water coming out of the Ball Station, which that tank holds 5 million gallons of water, and it depleted pretty rapidly. So you can see that we're talking about a huge quantity of water until we were able to shut off those valves to stop that water from going in that leak and to isolate that that leak. Okay?
All right, Earl and Paul, we have Jennifer calling in with a question. Jennifer, you're live on the line with Earl Jan and Paul Woodham from the Erie County Water Authority. What's your question?
Hi. My question is, you know, I understand that things happen and what have you, and we haven't had a boil water alert in quite some time, about 10 years, but now with it seeming to happen a little bit more frequently and water main breaks and that stuff happening, what is your immediate plan of attack to make sure that us as the residents are safe in going forward? I mean, making sure that, you know, we are alerted immediately when there's a boil water, especially for, you know, our younger kids, our pets, as well as elderly people that may not, you know, have accessibility to bottled water and things like that. What's the plan of attack to inform us residents to keep us quicker than 4.5 hours later?
Well, in the first place, we don't expect to see boil water orders being put on very often. Now, as I mentioned, you know, on average, we have about 1,100 leaks per year, and those leaks, you know, many of them are very large as well, and they can affect a number of people. And it hasn't, and it's not our experience that is necessary. And in fact, this one, we don't really believe that a boil water order should have been issued. So we think an awful lot of people were upset for no reason. The you know, in the event of an area in which a boil water notice truly is necessary, in that case, we will do everything in our power and use every method that we can to. I'm not sure what that noise is, but
steam.
That was the caller, the next caller. Sorry about that. That's Michael doing the wrong button.
Okay.
Go ahead, Earl.
All right. I hope that answered her question, but we are looking at every means to inform our customers of any problems that they may encounter in the future.
Earl, if you don't mind, I'll also answer that. We're going to be instituting a system for text alerts. We're securing that technology now where you can opt in by texting a word to this number. We're going to be rolling that out soon. This has long been in the works. We're asking ratepayers to go to the website and give us their email address so we can email them and provide us with your telephone number so we can telephone you. Robocalls, which they use during elections, are not legal. We are not allowed to use robocalls with cell phones, so please don't enter your cell phone. That's part of the problem here. We are trying to identify the numbers which are cell phones and which are not, so we can use robocalls. Also, reverse 911, as one of the callers noted here, is an option. It's an expensive option, one that costs quite a bit of money. We're exploring partnering up with other municipal agencies in case we're back on their usage of the reverse 911. So there are a lot of technology solutions here, social media as well. We've initiated a social media program, but we're going to use all of the above ways to communicate with our ratepayers. Now, right now, Shirley, are you on the line? Shirley? Shirley, one second. Shirley, are you on the line?
No, I'm listening.
Okay, Shirley, if you've got a question, I'll mute you after your question. You've got an odd sound coming from your phone. You got a question for Earl and Paul?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Go ahead.
What is your question?
I live in West Seneca, and I just got out of the hospital. I knew nothing about this meeting, and I really don't know what's going on, but I was just wondering if West Seneca is affected at all.
It's not?
It's not?
No, West Seneca was not affected by this.
Earl, could you explain why they weren't affected?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we have two plants that supply water to our system. And generally, the water from Sturgeon Point services the South Towns, West Seneca, and an awful lot of the area south of Main Street. So as a result, your area was not affected.
Very good. We're going to move on to the next question. Again, you're on the line with Earl Jan and Paul Wynn from the Erie County Water Authority. Specifically, we are addressing the water main break on Wednesday of last week that led to a 48-hour boil water order. Donna Watkins, thank you for holding on. What's your question for Earl and Paul?
That's me.
Hi, Donna. Hi, you're on the line. What's your question?
How can we help you?
We're ready for your question.
I'm sorry. I really didn't have a question.
That's okay.
I just wanted to tell you that I'm coming off of using a well for years. I'm really happy to have your service. I think you keep the prices down as much as you can, and I'm always happy to have that water, and I really thank you guys.
Well, you're very welcome. And a number of years ago, I was on a well myself, and I know the difference from coming off well water and going on to Erie County water, and the quality is far superior. So thank you very much for your comment.
Thank you, Donna. We're going to move along here. We have a question from Anthony Schuler. Anthony Schuler, you're on the line with Earl Jan and Paul Whittem from the Erie County Water Authority. What's your question, Anthony?
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Very good.
Very good, thank you.
Listen, I have two questions. Question one would be, being that the price of water has gone up, or mine personally has doubled in the last few years, I was wondering if any of those monies have gone into escrow strictly for the purpose of upgrading the mains. And if so, what amount? And my question two is, you mentioned earlier that you guys coordinate with highway departments and everything that do maintenance work, and you can actually get in with them at the time this maintenance is going on. If they are digging up, say, for instance, a road to refinish it and have to go down deep enough to pick up your existing lines that, from what I understand, are like about 2 feet or slightly more in depth, which certainly isn't below the frost line, why couldn't you take advantage of the time that they have those roads open and go the added distance to 4 feet and bury a new line at that time, at least in the section that is being replaced, and then continue on from there the next time the road is continued on? This way you would already have some line buried at the proper depth, and the line could be tied in with the rest of it when the time comes. Could you answer those questions for me, please?
Sure. First of all, it would be very rare that we would have a line that shallow. Our lines are almost always 4 or 5 feet deep, and they are below the frost line. Now, to answer about every year we send a letter to each municipality asking for their schedule of maintenance. We do that ahead of time so that we can also plan. So we do, in fact, try to coordinate with them in which our line, and we look at our lines and see which lines are in really bad shape, and those are the ones that we try to address in conjunction with the municipality, because in both situations it saves a lot of money because of the restoration costs. So we are very conscious of that. I know of specific streets in Cheektowaga, for example, where we have coordinated with the town to do that. So, in fact, we are doing, you know, what you're talking about currently. Now, as far as the monies go, all right, I hate to tell you this, but because I wasn't around then, but there was a philosophy at the Water Authority for 20 to 25 years in which they were very concerned about making sure that the plants, the tanks, and the pump stations were kept in really good shape. They frankly did not pay attention to the water mains. The attitude was put a patch on it. If it breaks, just put a patch on it. Well, unfortunately, that type of philosophy catches up with you in the future, you know, and you can't go with that forever. So we've had crews that have dug up breaks, and they see two and three patches in that location. Now, we've upgraded our technology dramatically so that we now know, using GPS, where breaks occur and that. But unfortunately, there's an awful lot of old data that's not available. And so that's what we are using currently in our leak history to determine what lines are going to be replaced and at what rate we can do that. As I mentioned earlier, we've increased our capital spending this year over last year by about $11 million, and the majority of that is going for pipe replacement. In addition, we are looking to that to make sure that more and more of our capital expense goes for pipe replacement, because we spent a lot of money on the plants, and we hope to have to be in a position where we won't have to spend as much money to maintain the plants as what has had to been done in the past. So I hope that answers your question.
Very good, Earl. That's about all the time we have in our hour set aside. Thank you, Rosemarie, for your call. This is Michael Caputo for the Erie County Water Authority. I know there are many people still on the line here. If you have a question, before you leave the call, press 1, leave that question for us as a recording, and we will get back to you with an answer. Remember, press 1 to leave your parting thoughts or comments or questions, and you will hear from us if you ask for a reply. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for the Erie County Water Authority Teletown Hall regarding our water main break last Wednesday in the town of Amherst. Again, please contact us with your email address and your landline on our website, and you can see us on email, I'm sorry, as well on social media, Facebook and Twitter. Please stay in touch, and we'll continue to provide you with the purest water you've ever tasted.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.